July 18th, 2023. Bobby Castellino Lewis in the house.
How are you, traveler?
Fabulous, thank you. Describe where you are.
I am in the LAX area in Westchester, California. I'm situated equidistant between two major highways. We call them by numbers here, the 405 and the 105. Two major streets, which are Lincoln Boulevard and Sepulveda Boulevard. And every once in a while, you can hear a jet plane in the background. I'm walking distance to the airport. So, very unique location for Los Angeles. And
Okay.
it's a mile as the crow flies to the beach.
That's very important to know.
Yes.
Yes, Bobby, we are here because you have a book. Absolutely gorgeous. And of course, this is audio, but I had to just hold it up and look at it some more. So that's what 70 looks like, the essence of aging gracefully.
Now, did you read the hard copy? Because I know you know every word in the book because we edited it together. Did you actually read the finished copy?
That's a good question. I guess I'd better. I will.
Just have the experience. Enjoy all your hard work because there
I
it is.
must. Thank you. I will, because it's a beautiful book. And of course, you get so familiar with a book and then you forget about that especially important moment of actually reading it. I will. That's my next assignment. Thank you.
You're welcome. You gave me enough. Now I'm giving you one. Now I'm pulling author's prerogative.
Yes.
It's so weird to have author next to my name now.
It's well deserved, and you did a lot of work. And it's funny because looking through it and looking at those amazing photos, tell us about your photographer.
Jervell Sampson. Yes, we had our big book launch party actually a week ago at the Book Jewel, a beautiful little bookstore, independent. They call them indies, I guess, now. And there's a few others that are sprouting up in the Los Angeles area and other parts of the country. And it turns out almost all of them, at least the ones I've encountered so far, all of them are owned and conceived by women. I think it's all very interesting. Anyway, it was at the Book Jewel, which it was wonderful. It was super well attended. The store did an amazing job of putting a party together. They had it catered and they had wine and they set up 100 chairs and we filled all of them. And there was also standing room. I spoke about the genesis of the book and some of the fun stories around it and introduced and thanked people. And then I read three excerpts from the book, one from the postscript, one from my view on leadership and one from my view on, I think it was romance. So it was just an amazing situation. I felt very comfortable in front of the room. Talking about the book is probably now one of my favorite things to do, as it's become a platform for me to really live my purpose and help others to be the best version of themselves. Look it, feel it, and live it.
Well, you're
So,
used to standing in front of people and talking about things. So this is a new angle for you, right?
yeah, I'm definitely comfortable standing in front of the room, and lots of leadership positions have set me up for that. But this is different. This is really different. In a lot of it, I spilled my innermost thoughts, not all of them. As I joked with you, there's a lot more I have to talk about, but too many of the people that would be included in that conversation are still alive. So I can't even under pseudonyms, I can't talk about some of that stuff yet. Yeah, writing a book, when you delve into anything personal, I mean, I can't speak to what it's like to write about something that's fiction, but I would imagine that's also very revealing because it's your kind of your dreams and your subconscious elements coming out. You know, instead of the real visible aspects of who you are.
You conceived of writing this book right around your 70th birthday, but this is like you're into your 70s. Do you have another goal on the horizon, or you're gonna ride this wave for a while, I think?
Literary goal? Yeah, because I have several other goals. I mean, every birthday, as I approach my birthday, I come up with new things to try and do. for my birthday, but a literary goal. Right now, my literary goal is to use the platform that I've created, create and propagate wisdom sharing circles all over the world. So I want to take this book like a magic carpet, and I want to ride it all over the place. And I think there will be another book to follow this, because some people are already saying, so what are you going to do for 80?
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe by 80, I'll have a different perspective and I can talk a little bit more freely about some more relationships, the relationship aspect of living, take the essences to a new level. But right now, I'm going to continue writing my monthly articles that I write for the magazine that I write for, which I really enjoy. I'm in the middle of one right now. I'm writing about bravery and courage as it relates to style and fashion, believe it or not. There's a slight divide between them, but I'm exploring that. So I will continue writing my articles and, of course, my blogs and wherever else I feel called to write about or with.
Well, it's great, yeah, that you have that platform and that you're making use of it. Your subtitle, The Essence of Aging Gracefully, you have set it up with these essences and your version of the essences. Are you pleased with that? You're happy with that structure?
Yes, I really am. Because I'm sitting here and I'm looking at my essence board, and it's not an ego-driven thing. It just always speaks to me. It's got so many elements in it. And it's complex and simple at the same time. And just one picture of a model standing with, I call double HOH, you know, double hands on hips. And just up near the top, just looking out like, yeah, right. You know, it just always speaks to me. So it's part of the evolution of getting to a certain point in age and really being comfortable in your own skin.
Mm-hmm. And what does essence mean to you?
Essence to me is, it's an element. It's an element that you can't necessarily touch. Essence is more ethereal. You know, curly hair, certain color skin, fingernails, no fingernails kind of thing. But an essence, you can't really put your fingers on that. It's definitely more ethereal. It's here, but it's not of the physical world.
Now, you have a core essence that you like to talk about. What is that?
Glow. I want everything I do and everyone who comes in contact with me and everything I touch and, you know, that kind of thing to glow with that inner essence and that energy and that desire to live full out. So to live, not wait. A lot of the conditioning that we've had as humans over the past number of decades is to wait. Wait till you go to school. Wait till you graduate from high school. Wait till you go to college. Wait till you get married. Wait till you have kids. Wait till you retire. What the heck is that about? I don't believe in waiting. I think you should live every day. Irma Bombeck used to talk about it. Use the good dishes, for God's sakes. So what if one gets broken? Use them. Light the candles. Use it. Don't wait. Yes, so the color I wore today is a little bit of glow. I always wear something sparkly because I want that glow to be inside and out.
I can hear very quietly in the background a dog barking, and I think that might be because the dog wants you to mention that you included two dogs in your book.
Well, it's my two dogs. I just saw a little dog go by. I have two very large dogs. They do not like little dogs. And they regard this section of the street, because they can hear dogs coming from God knows what distance in both directions. They consider this entirely their turf, and they make everybody know it. So yes, Loki and Thor, my German shedders, included in my day, which is usually very active. I have to include 1 hour a day, enough time to, oh, here comes another dog. So they're going to keep barking for a while. Enough time so that I can clean up dog hair. And I have an army that helps me clean up. I have two Swifters, two Swiffers, a vacuum cleaner, a Roomba, two dustbusters, and they're inside and outside. So that's why it takes me an hour, because I have to do the garage, which is their condominium, and the first floor of the house, because they're not allowed upstairs, and the backyard, because I cannot stand to see tumbleweeds of dog hair. And I know that they're in places I can't even find it. But they're great dogs. They're great watchdogs, as you can tell. But they, like most good things, have a little bit of a downside.
So one thing that has always intrigued me that you say, Bobby, is dressing for the day you want.
Well, it started shortly after we were shut down in the last couple of years. I'll call it the Great Pause. People were staying home. They were planted in front of their computers. They weren't going out the way they were and weren't socializing. Some were growing right in place. And I encouraged people to keep getting dressed. Dress for the day you want, not for the day you were given. Because we were all given some pretty crummy days. So you needed to find new things to be grateful for. I started my book August 15th of 2020. So early on, I decided I was going to make use of this quiet time, because it did get really quiet. There was hardly any traffic on the roads. The beaches were closed. Everything was crazy. But anyway, not to dwell on that. So at that same time, I started making videos. It was just on a lark to begin with, but I was just aggravated. I'm sick of people saying, oh gosh, I'm not getting dressed. You know, I'm not going anywhere. And I'm like, is that why you get dressed? Because you're going someplace? How about getting dressed for you? Getting dressed to make you feel good. And, you know, having an expression of your inside on the outside, even if you're having a gloomy day, if you want to have a low day, then dress for it. Dress comfy and dress, but I encourage you to get dressed. So I did, gosh, I don't know how many, 52 or 62 short videos. They're all on my Instagram page. And I kept calling them Dress for the Day You Want. And I was showing how I dressed that day and what I was working through. And I tell you, to this day, even men are still saying, I did what Bobby said to do. I dressed for the day I wanted. So I think that you can control what you get. If you put yourself out there the right way, if your energy is in the right space. And I think getting dressed is the outward expression of how you're feeling. And then people say, well, what am I going to do? I'm on Zoom all day. It's only from the waist up. I said, so you do tabletop couture. Just dress from the waist up and wear your comfortable pajama bottoms and your Uggs or whatever else you're wearing on the bottom. And then as women, we often would, regardless of our weight, if you wanted to go out and get something to feel good, we'd get a pair of shoes because they were sort of body independent. Mostly your shoe size didn't change. So even that was, you know, a challenge during that time. So I coined the phrase that earrings are the new shoes. So put on some different earrings. That's all. And feel good about it. And when you see yourself on the screen in that little Hollywood Squares box, you can see yourself sparkling.
That's right. So with all those videos and all those people watching, some people must call you a bit of a mentor.
I would like to be considered a mentor. I actually have been an official mentor and had mentees through some organizations. And then the organizations that I have leadership responsibilities and participation in, I'd like to think that I'm inspiring and motivating people all the time, which I think is really sort of the equal terms of what a mentor is.
And did you have a mentor growing up?
Never, never. No, I didn't have anybody. I didn't have anybody that I could call mine. Someone that would always help me feel good about myself. So that became a real inside job and consequently took a whole lot longer. And that was probably a lot of the thrust of writing the book and the conceiving the concept of it. Because I looked in the mirror and I said, so that's what 70 looks like. Okay, that's cool. Game on. And I think a lot of your listeners and you will agree that every zero birthday, and now fives also, every zero or five birthday, you get sometimes incrementally, but sometimes exponentially further from giving a hoot about what other people say. So having reached 70, There's no hoots, there's no hollers, there's just like, it's like, are you talking to me? But the bigger thing is that people are going to say stuff no matter what. It's how you filter it, it's how you respond to it, and how you deal with it, you know? And a lot of people know now that if I invite you to say something, great. If I don't invite you, I don't necessarily think it's your right. So keep it to yourself.
So, have you slimmed down on some of your friendships in this decade so far?
Well, yeah, some by natural attrition and some by choice. I lost a lot of friends because I happen to have had a bunch of friends that were older than me. They've all passed. And then some of my contemporaries, like high school friends and my in memoriam, Harvey, my friend since we were babies, have passed. So there wasn't a whole lot left to let go of. But there are some relationships. I won't say necessarily friends, but there are some relationships that you just gently distance yourself from. You know, don't make yourself as available and you don't feel compelled to reach out to them when you know it's just not really a good match anymore.
So, are you finding yourself cultivating some new friendships, perhaps on the rowing team?
Yeah. Yes. Well, and you know what? The rowing team is interesting. I haven't found anybody there yet that I really want to be friends with off the water. Yeah, casually, but not really friendships. This is an interesting sport. I'll tell you more in about 6, 8 months when I get out of my learn to row program and graduate and I'm in the boat with experienced rowers. But they're serious about what they do, real serious. And if somebody does something that, or hits the water the wrong way and you splash somebody behind you're going to hear about it. You know? It's like, get it roll up faster, do this, do that. And I'm like, okay. You know? So
Yeah.
it's been humbling. I'll tell you, it's been humbling. I've been in seat number 3 two Sundays in a row. And I think that maybe there's something ill-fated about that seat because I swear to you, I was the only one being called out the entire time we were rowing. Number 3, get your oar in the water. Number 3, roll up sooner. Number 3, are you with us today? You know? So they do that so that they're not picking on the same person's name all the time, but everybody knows who's number 3 is. So it's been humbling, but I'm not quitting. I refuse to quit. So to answer your question, I don't know that I have any new friends from that, but I will tell you the universe keeps sending me young women. And I'm not talking about little kids. I'm talking about young women, women in their 30s and 40s, which is a good size gap for me. That's 30 and 40 years from my age. And I know why, because the universe and I agreed I'm going to live to 120. So I need to have a circle of friends at all times. So I have different age groups. You know?
Yeah, that's what I've heard is a good strategy to have some younger friends, because otherwise, who's going to bring you soup when you need it and stuff?
Yeah, well, I'm the one that's usually making and bringing the soup right now, but that's okay. But I heard a quote recently, and I think it's quite lovely. It was either Robert F. Kennedy or Tucker Carlson. I'm not sure which, but the quote was this: "You can say what you mean, but don't say it mean." Which totally fits into my triangle of kindness, bravery, and integrity. So I think you can get away with anything if you do it with kindness.
Yeah, tell us about your triangle.
That's my triangle of life. If there isn't integrity, there isn't bravery, if there isn't kindness, then that's not a situation I want to be in. That's not people I want to be around. It's a universal application for me. And it's made life very simple. So you were saying how certain relationships and friendships and stuff have kind of fallen off. That's because they don't fit in one of those three corners or more. Because I find typically people that aren't kind don't necessarily have integrity either. And bravery, it's its own thing because bravery is spontaneous. Courage is more fighting, getting through the fear and setting it aside, you know, being more mindful and looking at the aspects and saying, okay, I can proceed. You know, that's courage. But bravery is like kind of see the fear and do it anyway, you know, just. So I prefer bravery to courage. It's more instinctual.
Right. Like you say, it's in the moment.
What was that JFK book? Profiles in Courage?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he didn't say Profiles in Bravery. Courage, I think, is more encompassing, especially, you know, in the realm that he was talking about, because you have to calculate the risks. You have to identify the fear and you have to find a way through it. Whereas bravery might be a little bit more kooky. You know, we just, oh, well, whatever, you know.
Yeah, tell us more about leadership and how that's played out in your life.
Yeah, well, being born a Leo with a Scorpio rising and a Virgo moon and the eldest of four children, I had no choice. It's just in my DNA. But the way I choose to lead has always been through fellowship, you know, developing the relationship so that you're never telling someone what to do. You're creating an environment where they want to do it with you. And that comes down to trust and integrity and kindness. So there it goes. That's all that stuff is in there again. I think women are natural born leaders. And I think that it's important, especially now and going forward, where everything is changing, whether you agree or not, doesn't matter. It's changing. The frequencies are changing, the solar system, the predictability of things, everything, it's changing. So if you can rely on your instincts and just act in a leadership capacity all the time, even if no one's following you.
In your own
Yeah,
life. Yeah.
Exactly. It's taking charge and being decisive and going forward with a purpose and a meaning to what you're doing. And not doing it because somebody else is doing it or because somebody told you to do it or because you want to please people. People pleasing, come on, people. It's over. There's one person you need to please, and that's you. If you can please yourself and really take that stand, you will attract others like a magnet because they don't have that same capacity. So it's still not universal and it's not ubiquitous. I'm seeing more and more people step into a leadership role by just getting to the point where they acknowledge who they are. They let go of a lot of the stuff of the ego and they live in gratitude. And that's such a solid platform. You almost can't go wrong. And I don't see how you could possibly fall off. You know, it's so stable. And then everything else fits into place. Then it's like, you know, the natural order of things that the puzzle pieces just come together. So, yeah, leadership is real important to me. And being a role model, that's part of my human design, which for those of you that follow human design, I'm a mental projector and I'm a 4-6, which makes me an opportunist role model. Which means that in any given circumstances, I'm a role model. So I didn't have one. And now I know why, because I was it. Was looking for something when I was younger that I already had.
And this must play out when you're teaching children to swim.
Oh, yeah. I'm now teaching at the Y, in addition to teaching private lessons in my backyard. Oh my God, what an experience it is. I had a class the other day. There were 6 3-year-olds. I was like herding pigeons. Who's hanging on the bar over here? Who's underwater? And I'm looking down at them and I yank them up and they go, I'm okay, really, I'm okay. I go, hold on to the wall, will you please? One's crawling down the wall over on the other side to their parents. So I was like, I put them all on the wall, which I hate to do because I want them to stay in the water to stay even temperature. And I called all the parents to stand in front of the kids. I got one of the lifeguards to stand on the corner of the pool. And I told all the kids, if you don't listen to me, that lifeguard is going to get me in trouble. So you have to listen to me. And they did. It was amazing. And then I had a situation here the other day. I taught 3 privates and the youngest of the 3 children is 4 or 5 years old. And all 3 children have had concerns about putting their face into the water. And I've been trying to entice them and, you know, give them tips and that kind of stuff all the time. And I said, you know, I said, once you put your face in the water, everything about swimming gets easier because you're not trying to constantly keep your head up like a turtle, which makes your body heavy, which makes you sink, which makes you can't float and you can't kick easily. So I said, honestly, let's just get this over with and go underwater. So the four-year-old is running back and forth across the steps, which is an activity I gave her. And while I was turning around to reach for the kickboard to take her to the next level, she danced around and went off the bottom step into the pool, which is over her head. And the mother was up there and I thought she was going to launch, but I saw her. She went completely under, head completely under. And I reached down and I grabbed her up. She hesitated for a couple seconds and then she started crying. So I brought her in. I held her face. I looked at her and I said, I'm so proud of you. That was the best thing yet. Do you realize you went underwater before your older brother and sister? Oh my God, this is such a celebration. This is amazing. And she, you know, she simmered down, she stopped crying. And I said, I know it startled you. It startled you because you didn't expect that. But you also have to pay attention to where you are in the water, right? Because you had your back to the water. You don't want to do that in the ocean. Don't put your back to the ocean. So she calmed down. And then we kept doing things, you know, and never let her get out of the water, never let her quit. And then at the end of her lesson before her sisters and brothers came in, and she's walking out of the pool, she says, I went underwater. So they all got, I give the kids torpedoes when they do something, these little things that, you know, you throw through the water, they're sinker toys. And I put their name on it. I put the date on it, and I put what they accomplished. They're leaving today for vacation. Each one of the kids got a sinker toy, but she got one for putting her head under.
Without even meaning to.
Yeah. But now I said, now you've experienced it. Now everything else about swimming is going to get easy for you. So I said, I expect when you guys come back from vacation that I'm not going to recognize you in the water. So I loaned them my kickboards. I said, you know what to do with this? Practice. You'll be in great water in a beautiful environment and you can be in the water all day long. Practice. You know what to do. And your mom knows what to do, and you can tell your dad how to do it with you.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I love hearing about how you're talking to them, and those are really positive things that will stay with them, I think.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I said, do you put your head in the water? No, I can't. And I said, well, first of all, we don't use that word around here. They said, what word? I said, can't. I said, you can say yet, but you can't say can't. And yet works. Yet works because it opens the realm of possibility.
That's right.
Can't, like finite, doors closed, shops locked up. And then, 5 minutes later, they do something that they can't do, right? So, yeah, I just so enjoy watching them get confidence in themselves. I said, that's all it is. I said, you were in water for 9 months, maybe longer. I said, your body knows how to do underwater. It knows how to operate in that environment. It's your head that's telling your body it can't do it.
I think you're just proving what we were talking about, creating younger friendships. These are pretty young.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so funny when I run into them at other places when I, made up and I have clothes on and they'll look at me. And then when they hear my voice, they go, oh, it's Teacher Bobby. I said, yeah. And I always recognize them, So, yeah, it's been really wonderful. And then helping them deal with their parents, too, because a lot of the parents are, have expectations for their kids or this, that, or the other thing. And I'm an adult, too, but I talk to them and deal with them in a very different way. I respect them. And I think that goes a long way for their self-confidence and their self-esteem.
Draws them out in a different way.
Yeah. With me, they don't do anything out of fear. Nothing. I'm not beyond offering gummy bears as a reward. I'm going to tell you that. But there's no fear in that. Tell you what, you do that again, I've got some gummy bears inside the house with your name on it. Okay, Mom?
Bobby Casolino Lewis, we've been talking today about your book a lot. We can't say goodbye, though, without mentioning your family.
My family? Which family? My chosen family? My real family? My adopted family? Which family?
Oh, so many options. Well,
Yeah.
I was thinking of your son, of whom you are so proud.
Oh, yes, my son, my now 30-year-old son. I'm so glad he's outpacing me in the rate he's aging, because I'm not aging as fast as him. But he's 30 years old now. Yeah, he turned 30 on July 3rd. Yeah, he's an amazing human. I can't wait to see what he accomplishes in this world, because he's so achieved at this stage of the game. And it's all been things that he just set the intention and I had his back on. He's an Air Force pilot flying C-130s. For those of you that don't know, look them up, because they're big, really big. And he accomplished that before he turned 30. And he's flying all over the world. He just came back from a trip that he went on by himself, first time in 12 years, because this kid worked his butt off to be, he was a crew chief because he was enlisted, waiting for a pilot slot to open up so he could go to pilot school and then pilot school and then survival school. It's grueling, absolutely grueling. So this guy has been living on the edge for 12 years, not knowing if he was going to achieve what he so wanted. And he has, and he did. And so he went on this trip, and it's the first time I saw him just really relax and huge, happy smiles. And he went to cooking classes. He was inspired, grew up in the kitchen, cooking next to me all the time. So I'm fairly good. And he is a really good cook. So he's a real, you know, for a guy of his generation, I think he's pretty Renaissance. And, you know, he's not open to everything. Mom has always suggested, you know, I went to a yoga studio up in your neighborhood and there's some really good looking gals there. Mom, I'm not taking a yoga class. I said, well, it's less time than if you go online, you know. So he goes, stop trying to fix me up. I said, Bo, I'm not trying to fix you up. I'm just simply trying to put options and take your blinders off, you know, options in front of you.
And you and your husband are enjoying this current location that you described at the beginning?
Yes. Yes. We're 30 years in officially. There were a couple of years before that. Yeah. And he convinced me to move from New York to California. It was a very interesting time in California. The economy was flat. The Rodney King riots, the big earthquake in Northridge. There were killer bees. There were mudslides. I don't know what else there was. And the ocean's on the wrong side of the planet. So I never had my sense of direction. I'm a New Yorker. The ocean's on the right, not on the left. So I questioned very vehemently, why did I do this? Why did I come cross country? Why did I leave Wall Street? Why did I do this? And it's all panned out. It turns out I'm really a California girl at heart. So
well, and I don't know if you could have that convertible in New York the same way you can in California.
It's actually a T-top Stingray. It's a Corvette Stingray. Yeah, and it's my third one. And yeah, no, that car would not work in New York. I drove a Bronco, a full-on, full-size Bronco for 30-some-odd years. And I hated to give it up. And I don't really like the new ones. Sorry, folks. But I like my old one the best. Just completely shifted. I went from being on top, being able to look bus drivers and truck drivers in the eye, and now down on the ground, hoping that they see me.
Well, Bobby, you are really quite a unique girl. And I'm very pleased that we got to know each other. I must say that when we were first introduced by Becky Norwood of Spotlight Publishing House, who was going to help you get this book published years later after you guys met, I really wondered what I was getting into. And
now that you got into it, you're like, holy cow, what just happened?
My life will never be the same.
Nor mine. It was a beautiful collaboration. And I'll tell you, if you would be my editor again, it would be worth writing another book.
All right. I promise to read your book. I'm going to read it and I'm going to get back to you.
Yeah. And then I'll write you a little card or something, because I won't see you for a bit. Or maybe I'll write it on a sticker and I'll send it to you so you can put it inside. So I will have signed it.
Okay. deal.
You know, I know this is a podcast, and any of your listeners, if they ever want to have a chat, I'm open, really, because, you know, talking to somebody who's kind of been through it now, who knows what you might be able to share?
You never know.
Never know. And maybe they'd want to become part of my wisdom sharing circles.
That's right. Thanks for bringing that up again.
Yeah, it's a real thing. Yeah, look, I got some signups already.
Wow.
People like it. And they're all different ages, which is exactly what I hope to accomplish, is to bring different age groups together. Because it turns out the millennials do not have horns on their head, nor do the boomers. Okay? We all are very cohesive when you come down to it. We all want the same thing. It's just how we go about it. And I've started doing hardcore Pilates, the LeGreer method. I'm by far and away, double down, triple down, the age of the gals in the class. So I figure if I can keep up even a little bit, these are my people.
I think you're showing us up, Bobby. What's a good way for people to reach out to you for these wisdom sharing circles?
Anything. Actually, I think the easiest way is to go to my website. I'm on social media and all that, but go to my website, which is just my name, bobbycasalinalewis.com. You can connect with me there. There's a tab for my book, which has a little video on it, and my blogs and media and all kinds of stuff. Yeah.
All right.
Very comprehensive.
Bobby, what are you going to do now? What's the rest of your day look like?
Oh, I'm going to finish writing my article about bravery and courage. I'm going to do some of the things that I promised to write and get submitted to my VA so that the next month of publication is set up. I'm going to pack for Nashville. And then, I don't know, might take a swim.
Why not?
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, I know you asked me the question earlier and I diverted, which, as you know, I have a tendency to do. What am I doing next? Because you asked me if I was going to write another book. My next adventure for 2024, my big adventure, is to get my private pilot's license so I can fly with my son.
All right. Well, there's no holding you down. That's obvious.
I know, right?
Oh, boy.
Oh, don't even try.
Thanks a lot, Bobby. We'll be in touch.
Thank you, Lynn.